If a picture is worth 1,000 words, how much is an event or a personal experience worth? We're going to talk about that on the next episode of The Leadersmith. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
So I want to talk about double standards. I was at the doctor's office the other day. I had an appointment, and I've done this many times where I have multiple kids at the same time. But the doctor's office is closed because of COVID. Well, not closed, but like you can get in for an appointment, but you have to sit in your car and you have to wait, and people come out in masks and they say, okay, well, one parent with one kid only. And so what we had to do, I'm going to take this off because it's hard to speak through the mask. What we had to do is we had to sit in the car and, you know, fill out paperwork, and then they would call us, and then my wife and one child would go in, and then I would take the other children. I teach not too far from there at Charleston Southern, like just down the road. So I took them over to the university, and we'd walk around in the green space just to kind of occupy the kids for a while, and then she'd call me, and I'd come back, and we'd switch out kids. And it was this laborious process. It really felt like everything was locked down. And I was thinking, you know, I'm switching the kids out, and I'm watching people very carefully make sure they're controlling who's coming in and going out and just being hyper careful. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is just the bizarrest thing. Meanwhile, downtown, there are protests and riots, and people aren't social distancing. And this is going to lead into a spike in corona cases. My wife asked the doctor, hey, what do you think? Is this going to affect, you know, when businesses will reopen and things along those lines? Oh, yeah, it's going to push back how long the quarantine is going to be, where we're just starting to come out of it. That's probably not going to be the case. So it was just a bizarre thought. You know, lawbreakers are rioting and looting, and the law requires 10 years for looting, 15 to 30 for arson, but we're not prosecuting anybody. I mean, we're not even hardly arresting whether or not we're going to prosecute them, let alone spreading the coronavirus, which puts 40 million people are out of work. Dr. Pearson was on the show the other day talking about the United Nations had estimated that 100,000 children will die as a result of the quarantine shutdown, what happens in the market. I mean, so this is a serious thing. But yet we're ignoring it. So I'm angry about this double standard. Like, I have to put up with wearing this silly surgical mask, which I know isn't really protecting me, and we have to sit and wait this extra time, and we're law-abiding, trying to do the right thing. And so I'm getting frustrated with this. And then I start thinking, wait a minute, on reflection, I'm thinking, how would I feel if I felt the black double standard? And what I mean by that is, you know, whatever you think, there are different experiences. I don't get stopped by the cops while I'm rolling in my minivan through the suburbs. And, you know, when people are at the grocery store, they don't look at me wondering if, you know, I might be looting or shoplifting or whatever. They more often than not, if anybody mistakes me for something, they think I'm the manager. And I can't tell you how many times it'd be, excuse me, sir, can you tell me where I can find the split peas? Mile 6? I don't know. I mean, that happens to me. I don't know what about my look says I look like a supermarket manager, which is not really a high compliment, but that's how I look. And so I don't get the negative side of that stereotype. And, you know, people don't think it's okay to be disrespectful to me because of my group, other than Hollywood, which seems to think that it's free game to make fun of Christians all day, and left, because I'm a Christian, I must be an idiot or something along those lines. But I mean, in general, they don't look at me and think, oh, well, it's okay to be disrespectful. Now, if that is your experience, that's the kind of treatment that you've experienced, I'm really sorry about that. And that ought not be. And so there's this double standard there that I felt a double standard. And in feeling that double standard, I realized, wait a minute, that there's a bigger double standard here. And I would be upset too if I was in that other group. So as I thought about this more, I thought about, you know, well, why is even that going on? And then I read a book called The First Law of Performance, and here I'm going to quote, "The First Law of Performance, how people perform correlates to how situations occur to them." So it made me start thinking, like, if I was African-American, I'd be thinking probably differently about the effect of the protest or why I ought to be protesting or whatever. And, you know, this wouldn't seem like such a double standard. It is a double standard, but I'd be thinking about it differently. So while it appears to be a double standard, the criminal justice seems to be a double standard to them, and there are statistics that would argue one way or the other. I'm not going to get into the details of that in this right now, but look, I'm not saying they're right. I'm not even saying that I'm right. I am saying this, that they've their experience, their perspective leads them to certain conclusions. Just like my experience with the mask led me to start thinking about it. They have legitimate experience that leads them to certain conclusions. That double standard has breeded a dissatisfaction, as double standards always do. And you know, even a good double standard breeds dissatisfaction. Whoever has the lesser side of that double standard. And so, like, affirmative action programs create that same kind of feeling. And now, there are all kinds of studies that talk about, and I talk about this in class sometimes, all kinds of studies talk about how the more racist you are, the more you don't like affirmative action. Well, duh, of course, that's the case. But there's really a much more nuanced balancing line. You support affirmative action if you see it as merit-enhancing. That is righting a wrong and bringing people to the place where it's bringing them to parity. If you see it as merit-violating, then you oppose it. Well, racists and people who see it as merit-violating both agree on that side, but they're not necessarily the same populations. Okay, I've digressed long enough about that. Double standards create or breed dissatisfaction. Now, it's the more important the double standard, the more potent the dissatisfaction. So when an executive has a parking spot and, you know, they're not even there, I come in and then I can't have to walk past all those empty parking spots, I grumble. That's an inconvenience. This with the mask, right? This showing up and having to wait in the car and whatever, that's an inconvenience for me. But, you know, I don't think the system is tilted against me. I don't think that, and there's arguments, and we're not going to get into it now. There are arguments that the system isn't tilted and there's cultural issues, and we're going to leave that alone. But if you feel that the system is against you, if you perceive that double standard, let me read this again. The first law of performance, how people perform correlates to how situations occur to them. Okay, so if you feel that, then you feel a double standard. Now, scripturally, it's very clear, don't have double standards. In Deuteronomy 25, 13 to 15, it says this, "You shall not have in your bag two kinds of weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house two kinds of measures, a large and a small. A full and fair weight you shall have, a full and fair measure you shall have, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God gives you." Now, what it's talking about is, like, a merchant would weigh out a measure of corn or a measure of barley or whatever it is. And if they put, you know, a weight on here and say, here's how much corn, and give that to you. But what you're talking about with a two different weights is not that you have 5 and 10 pounds, but that you have one weight that you use when you buy and another weight that's different when you sell, so that you're essentially ripping someone off. That's a double standard. Proverbs 20:10 says, "Unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike an abomination to the Lord." That's what it's talking about, where you're trying to have one standard for you and another standard for someone else. Paul in Romans 2:11 talks about God shows no partiality. Double standards are just wrong. They breed dissatisfaction. Beware. And that's true regardless of where you are. It's a poison to morale in a family if you have, like, a favorite child, in an organization if you're giving these people preferential treatment over those people, or in a society, as we're seeing the results of at least the felt double standard right now. Lady Justice is supposed to be blind. She's also not supposed to have her thumb on the scale. Okay, so I've gone on long enough talking about double standards. I hope you understand the point that double standards are bad. We want to eschew double standards. Here's the quotation for contemplation today. This comes from William Penn, founder of Pennsylvania. Justice is justly represented blind because she sees no difference in the parties concerned. She has but one scale and weight for rich and poor, great and small. Okay, so get away from double standards if you are at all in any way involved in them. If you have double standards, you're going to have serious problems. And that's the point of this message. Okay, thanks for listening. Please think about subscribing, and I will talk to you another time. Thanks. Bye-bye.